This is CliffCentral.com.
I can see Mabali in a red dress, long, one of those long red dresses, doing like a lambada or a samba to this song.
Oh.
No? Am I imagining too much?
Rather picture Rihanna. That is like such a better outcome.
I agree, but you would look good in this, in my imagination.
Ooh.
All right, so listen. Talking about dancing, did anyone see what happened eventually on Dancing with the Stars, or what's it called? What's
Dancing with the Stars, yeah. South Africa.
Yeah, yeah, what happened? Who won?
Connell Cruz.
Hmm?
We've had him in here a couple of times. He's cool. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, we like him.
Has
he won, huh?
Suave something about him.
Yeah, yeah, he's a cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
So he won, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was down to him and an actress named
I told you I caught
Zona.
The one episode.
Which one?
No, I saw...
Oh, I think you caught right in the beginning, though, right?
There were about 10 couples left, so...
That was right in the right beginning.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I don't know how many they started. I don't know, because I haven't watched.
Didn't they start with 12, Sia?
Jesus.
Yeah, that's how it's like
I was
right
really
there.
Paying attention, huh?
It's right there.
All right, so Connell Cruz, you were going to say he was up against what, an actress?
Yes, Zola, who's starred in a bunch of different productions, and she was really doing well as well.
I watched her.
The
she
competition.
Was, she was good when I saw
Fire
her
on the dance floor.
Yeah, she was amazing. Such energy.
Mm.
So he won.
Why are you finding it hard to believe?
Well, listen, dancing is a very, very... It's a rare talent to be able to dance beautifully. I mean, like, everybody can dance if it's just swaying to the music and all the rest of
it. But, and technically as well.
Yeah, and to be able to do it on a show like that. I don't like dancing because I can't do it, so I don't take an interest in it. But I love to see beautiful dancing. And I reckon if you can pull that off, and especially if you're an amateur, because there are professional dancers.
Mm.
But if you're an amateur and you manage to win a competition like that, you've got to have some real talent. So good for him. All right.
Yeah.
I thought we'd throw that in there.
I'm sorry. So there's this one, Dancing with the Stars, and then
Strictly Come Dancing.
Now, do they have the same premise? As in, they
to me,
amateurs get paired with a professional, and
they're
then
exactly
they,
the same.
They have judges.
Yeah. Just between you, me, and these walls, there's even a judge who was on Strictly Come Dancing who's now Dancing with the Stars.
Ah,
and so,
okay.
I mean,
yeah.
All right.
Just
so the pool is small. That's
the same
fine.
Thing.
Right.
And does it go down to a public vote, or is it a combination of judges' vote and the public?
Yeah, the judges' votes...
Does the public never know what they do?
The judges' points lead to who will be in the bottom two, and then the public votes for who should stay.
Yeah.
And, of course, the person with the least public votes leaves.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
But they're the same. They're the same show.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they're
yeah.
They're the same show.
Yeah.
All right.
Through and through.
That was what was confusing me. I thought that they were different shows, but they're really the same. They just got a different name. Okay. Well, what can we get into first? There's so much news. We talked about that shooter in America. The guy went to that Waffle House.
Half naked?
And he was naked.
He was naked, yeah.
And then we heard about the hero who managed to wrestle him to the, well, wrestle the gun out of his hands. And then he ran into the woods. I mean, what just a nutter. So what do we know about this guy?
Well, now the police are saying, excuse me, quite technically, he wasn't fully naked because he was wearing a green jacket. That makes a world of a difference, right?
But he was pantsless.
Like
Ben.
Someone's junk is still...
Was he pantsless?
Yeah.
And Ben, by the way, someone messaged me and said it's no pants day on the 4th of May.
Yeah, but I'm not really rich enough to participate.
Well, everybody can, Ben. Well, it's world's no pants
day. Because everyone's going to wear no pants.
Oh. You'll participate in the comforts of your home. Don't worry. So his name is Travis Rehnking, and he was arrested just shortly after 1 p.m. in the woods near his Nashville apartment.
In the woods.
I just can't. And
what are you doing in there, Travis? Where are you hiding?
What
you doing
idiot.
In the woods? I'm just... hiding here because I went to the Waffle House and made some trouble. Ooh, I've been a bad boy.
What he was doing in the woods and just thought, oh, I'll just cover myself with dirt and no one will find me.
Really? Is that what he did?
I'm just thinking in my head. That was his logic. He was arrested on 4 counts of criminal homicide, and he's a
Let's not forget this guy did kill 4 people.
He killed 4 people. He was on the run for 35 hours, but now as he's been arrested and identified, a lot is coming out about him previously. Firstly, what according to this music, he likes line dancing. But this guy really is a proper nutter of notes. He was able to say, no, I'm not going to give a statement. I'm requesting a lawyer. But as police are doing more research on him, they found out the likes that in his past, he's had quite a lot of run-ins with the law previously. So in May 2016, Travis actually called the police to tell them that he believed pop star Taylor Swift was stalking him. And somehow he wanted an investigation around that. His family has also previously called the police because he was making comments around killing himself. Last summer, Travis was arrested by the Secret Service for trespassing near the White House. When he was arrested, his justification was that he wanted to meet Donald Trump because he defined himself as a sovereign citizen. I don't know what that means. And so he had the right to inspect the grounds. This guy's crazy, y'all.
No, but there are a lot of people in society these days who are like this.
Mm-mm.
They imagine that they're in love. Come on, Sia, you've been guilty of this. You think you've got a personal relationship with Beyonce and Oprah.
But I understand where I fit in the criteria.
I don't think you're I don't think you're crazy.
Yeah.
But a lot of people in society today have access, limited access to their celebrities and their heroes and their presidents like they never have before.
Mm.
So social media has given them this illusion that they're participating in important things. When 100 years ago, he would have been in the woods because that's where he would have lived, and he would have had no way of communicating with anyone important ever. Mm. He would have got the mail, would have come around once every 6 months, and he would have been, his own community would have known, his own family knew he was crazy.
Mm.
They reported him to the police a couple of times.
He'd be walking around naked in his own place.
Right. So these days we have to put up with people like this because they make themselves known to us. Before, you, unless you went into the Appalachian woods, you would never have known that this guy existed. The Travis.
Idiot. 29 years old.
Idiot, but I wonder how many other people are attention-seeking to that degree. I mean, if the Kardashians weren't in Hollywood, wouldn't they be crazy like this?
Sure, let's not compare
wouldn't
a person who kills like 4 people. And
we often talk about attention-seeking. I think there's a new psychological illness. There's a new mental illness going around in society today, and it's this craving of attention.
And when you look at his run-ins with the law, I really do think, and look, I'm no professor here, I just watch a lot of Crime and Investigation Channel, but some of these killers just do things to get attention.
That's
as
right.
Well.
So I'm saying
you don't just go and trespass at the White House thinking you'll get away with it.
But before, this wasn't possible to this degree. You would always get, there were always people who wanted to assassinate presidents, and, you know, whether it was Lee Harvey Oswald or, it was the guy who killed Lincoln. Well, I mean, John Lennon's killer, Mark David Chapman. They always have 3 names.
Oh, good point.
Who's the guy who killed Lincoln, man?
Lincoln killer.
What's his name? For God's sake, it's just escaped me, and I know this. I know the name.
John Wilkes.
John
Wilkes
Booth.
You got him. John Wilkes.
He was thinking about it.
Yeah, I said 3 names. You can't kill someone unless you've got 3 names.
John Wilkes Booth. Now, these guys were outliers. They were on the fringes of society. Sometimes there was a conspiracy attached to them or something. But these days, you go onto social media. If you just Google, not even Google search, go onto Twitter, for example, which is the most cesspool of all of them, and just type in words like assassination or suicide, or look at the kind of crap that comes up. Mm. Because now there is this place where people can be heard. You've rolled into town with a big stage that people can get up on and be known. They can make themselves heard. They can be internationally famous by doing something horrible. Ben was telling me, some guy drove a bus into a bunch of people in Toronto yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's 10 dead.
Now, before we would not have all heard of this, it would have taken a long time for the news to filter through from Toronto. And I'm not saying that we're a sicker society than we've ever been, but there's suddenly a way for attention-seeking people to get the attention, which would motivate them to do terrible things like they might not have been motivated before. I think there's a new scope, and I don't know, I'm sure that there are people who are doing their doctoral thesis on this. I'm sure that there are psychologists who are doing research in this, psychiatrists, neuroscientists. I'm sure there are people figuring out what's going on here. And we're living in it now, so we can't see it. But in 20 years' time, they'll be looking back on the early 2000s, and they'll say, well, that was the time where humanity discovered this massive amount of attention that can be reaped from antisocial behavior.
Yeah, this immediately makes me feel very uncomfortable, because what are we now saying? Are we now saying that because of a mental disorder, it's going to be excusable for you to take out your problems on other innocent people? It's going to be excusable for you, based on a mental condition, to behave like a douche.
Mm.
I mean, if you walk into a Waffle House and you shoot four people
at 3 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
go to bed.
Go to bed.
Nothing good ever happens at 3. There are two other things that I just want to raise with this story that just makes it weirder. So after his whole incident at the White House, do you know that like there were firearms seized from him and he was not allowed to ever buy or have any firearms on his person?
So he did have one when he went into the Waffle House.
Yeah. Do you know where from?
No.
His own father gave him firearms a little while later.
Gotta say,
I'm like, Ben, what do you think will come out of this?
Ben's great, because I know you're itching to say it, Ben, and you've been right. Go on.
Oh, no, I've said enough of these things.
No.
It's obvious, guys.
What do you do?
Whole family, actually, in cases like this. Round them all up.
Like, what does the father think will happen?
Put them in jail.
Got it.
Yeah.
You just got to, because we can't keep being so naive to these things.
Yeah.
the father could potentially face charges for transferring weapons.
Yeah, look, he's a bit like his parents. Oh, shit.
I'm telling you, if you've been reported to the police because you've had strange behavior, your own family have reported you. In this case, they did, even though the dad later on lent him the firearm.
Idiot.
You've got in a car. He lives in where?
Nashville.
You've got in a car, you've driven to Washington, D.C. to go and see the president. You're a nutcase, right? You've told Taylor Swift you're taking out a protection order because she's stalking you, even though you've never met Taylor Swift. This is attention-seeking. It's not just a mental condition.
Yeah.
I think the two are linked. To go to that much trouble means you're craving public recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And in a world where the public are giving recognition to celebrities and statesmen and singers and all kinds of people like never before, internet sensations. A guy like this is like, he's motivated like never before to go out there and find that attention. And he knows he can get it.
Mm.
So he goes in, whether or not he's suffering from a very serious psychiatric problem, or he's just an attention seeker, or the two are mixed, is what I'm saying. He walks in without pants on, and he shoots up a Waffle House, kills four people, and then runs into the woods. This is not normal.
Yeah.
This is not a normal day in Nashville. Jeez.
And then just last week, actually, he walked into a car dealership and managed to steal a key of one of the cars, and just drove off with the car.
Now, surely you get locked in jail for that.
This is what actually is slightly annoying.
Right?
The police were able to track down this car to an apartment building, which Travis lives in.
Yeah.
And the police were able to say, oh, we found the car. That's it. Let's do no further investigation. okay,
please. Who is this guy? Is he a Kennedy that he gets away with all this stuff?
So odd. But yeah, I don't want to talk about it
anymore.
It is
pretty bizarre. There we go. So a little bit of background check reveals suddenly that this guy was, you could easily have pinpointed there was a problem a long time ago.
Mm.
They do say one in every five, some people say even less, of us is mentally not 100%.
But I think you're onto something by saying it's the combination of wanting to be notoriously known and this tick in your head.
Right.
That put together, you know, like, okay, I'm laughing, but it's not funny. Do you know Mariah Carey just announced, I think like 2 weeks ago, that she has mental issues?
Problems,
she's bipolar.
But you see, her mental issues are of a Mariah Carey glamorous nature. So her ex-manager saying, this is like 2 years ago, Mariah Carey commanded her entire ground staff to prepare a dinner for her because she has guests over and everyone scurries around the house and preparing this dinner. Then finally someone asked her, who's coming to dinner, Mariah? And she says, oh yeah, Whitney, Prince, and Michael. They're like, who? It's like Michael Jackson, Prince, and Whitney Houston. Yeah,
but you, again, and like Ben said earlier, if you're crazy and you have money,
see,
people forgive you.
Yeah, they took her to hospital and Mariah was trying to push her way out of a moving vehicle.
But I, again,
that's crazy, Mariah, on its own.
Yeah, but Mariah's not going to shoot up a Waffle House. I don't think that's going to happen with Mariah.
No.
Do you think that's going to happen? Why are you laughing? You think it's possible?
That would be a story.
Jesus, imagine if Mariah Carey went AWOL.
Yeah.
Imagine as a staff, you've been preparing this dinner, then you find out it's for dead people. What do you do?
Jesus. Oh, God.
Anyway, okay, let's stop talking about the crazies. I feel bad now.
All right, Ben, what's your prediction for tonight's big game? Liverpool versus Roma.
I really think Liverpool are going to go to the final. I do. There's something about this. The fact that Salah is like such an incredible player. Liverpool have been so cucked for so long, but remember back when they beat AC Milan in that final, they have one of these big games in them somehow. They'll never win the Premier League, but they might win the Champions League. I have a good feeling.
All right, another message for you on the Telegram, WhatsApp, and WeChat lines this morning. You can always get us on 0797482090. This is from Raymond. He says, "Morning team, I saw on Twitter the royal baby's name is Palace. I saw a congratulations on picking a great name from Crystal Palace Football Club, Raymond."
"Hello, my name's Palace Windsor. I'm the third in line to the throne. How you doing? All right, how about, kid? You ready for some fun?"
Something else. "Morning, guys. Remember the saying, it takes a village when it comes to sorting out people's mental health disorders, obviously." Yeah, I don't know.
Sure does it.
Busy village nowadays, huh?
I think it takes a village to raise a kid or discipline other people.
Let me tell you something. If you see someone... And by the way, you remember that horrible story about that guy throwing his kid off the roof in Joe Slovo settlement in the Eastern Cape? Well, he says he wasn't trying to kill his child. He was trying to save his child.
From?
I don't know.
Police. That's the police wanted to kind of take him down.
Yeah, that's his story. So he says he was trying to save his kid. Yeah. He was on TV. I don't know the whole story. I just saw him and I thought, maybe there's more to this. There's always more to a story than when it first comes out.
Yeah.
That's like with this guy without the pants shooting in the Waffle House. You know, we find out all these things afterwards and then it all sort of makes a little bit more sense. And it's very, very weird. This world is insane. What else is going on, Mubs? Give us some news.
So a U.S. Food and Drug Administration Advisory Committee last week unanimously recommended the approval of a new epilepsy drug. Now, this kind of thing happens all the time, so why is this making news? Well, because it would be the first plant-derived cannabidiol medicine for prescription use in the United States. Yes, the marijuana.
Holy mackerel!
It will only be in June when the FDA will come together to vote on whether to approve the drug. It's called Epidiolex. It is an oral solution for the treatment of severe forms of epilepsy in a small group of patients. The FDA has approved synthetic versions of some cannabinoid chemicals, which are found in the marijuana plant for other purposes, including cancer pain relief.
Well, it's about time. I didn't tell you about this, but my parents have a neighbor, and her daughter has epilepsy. Do you know anybody who has epilepsy?
Not personally, no.
So this is a very serious thing. So she was in the bathroom. She was doing her hair the other morning, and she had a fit, and she fell down and cracked her head on the tiles. And, you know, if you crack your head, you know how much blood there is? So this poor girl was, like, bleeding out in the bathroom. Her mother was freaking out. She called for help and emergency and blah, blah, blah. I mean, she was admitted to the hospital. She had like 13 staples in her head. It's hectic. It's very hectic. And you know, you blank out, and then in these epileptic fits, you aren't able to stop yourself from falling because you're not conscious. So you just fall. You could fall flat on your face, and then you get, it looks like you've been in a fight. You fall on a sharp edge, and you'll cut your head open. I mean, it's hectic what happens to these epileptic people. And I feel awful for them. You imagine if it could happen when you're driving. Then you can't drive. You're not allowed to drive if you have this kind of condition, because you could have an accident.
People have died because they were in the bath and they've had a fit, so they've drowned.
Exactly. What a horrible, horrible thing. So if you can find a way to alleviate this and to keep these epileptic fits at bay, and apparently it has to do with bright lights, and you could be triggered by almost anything. Food, alcohol, there's lots of things. Music, there's lots of stuff that could trigger you. And if this stuff works, if this cannabinoid oil or whatever it is works, bring it on.
Yeah. It's also called CBD, and it is one of the 80 active cannabinoid chemicals. But unlike THC, which is tetrahydrocannabinol, it does not produce a high. So this is another thing, is, you know, some people immediately think, oh, are we going to be getting people high all over the place? No. They're not going to get
even
high.
Even if you were, if someone's epileptic, let them get a little high.
But this throws an interesting spanner in the works, because how many times have we heard some factions of the science committee arguing that, in fact, marijuana in some instances makes brain conditions worse? So, for example, things like dementia or schizophrenia or that kind of thing. There have been some studies to suggest that, you know, the use of marijuana makes these conditions even worse in some cases. Patients. But here, you know, the FDA are saying that no, they're prepared to come together to decide on whether or not to incorporate this medication for the treatment of epilepsy.
I don't think there's a rule. I, you know, the science community can't agree on whether or not the cannabinoids have this positive or negative effect on the body.
Yeah, they can't.
Because it's individual, right?
Yeah.
Mubs, you know this. Your brain chemistry is so individual. It's like your... It's like a spectral signature. There's no one else who has exactly the brain you have. Certain pills work on certain people, other pills don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Like, people always trying to generalize, put us all in one box. There is no single treatment that will work for all people. Any doctor will tell you that. If they're being completely honest, they'll say to you, you know what? What works for Mabali might not work for Sia, might not work for Gareth, will work for Ben. You don't know. Everybody's brains, especially when it comes to psychiatric stuff, everyone's different. Nobody knows for sure. You got to try it and see what happens. I know people who smoke a lot of weed, and they're absolutely fine. They're functional. They've got their shit together. They're smart. They do a good day's work. And maybe once a week, or maybe every afternoon, they smoke a joint and chill out, and it doesn't affect them. I know other people who are ruined by it. They've got no brains left. But then they might have had no brains to start with. For all that. I don't know. It really depends. I can't imagine that if Ben suddenly decided to start smoking weed, that he would immediately turn into a stoner with no ambition. I can't imagine that, you know, if Sia had to suddenly start now, that you'd suddenly go backwards.
Oh, it would be a party.
I don't know. I think some people just don't. It's individual, man.
You look at how people react differently when they're drunk. Some people are chill and mellow. Some people just are jumping off the walls and bouncing off the walls. Yeah.
And what are the chances that this is more dangerous than those things that we synthetically make in a laboratory? This is a natural product. I'm not a, you know, I'm not a weed fan. I don't like the smell of it. I don't do it. I'm not interested in it. I'm not. But God damn it, if people want to do it, let them do it. Why are governments all over the world against this stuff? Why are they so anti it when they're perfectly happy for us to get anti-depression medication across the counter?
Yeah.
Which we don't know. That might be affecting us in far worse ways long term.
Well, yes.
You know?
I mean, there are a whole bunch of conspiracy theories around why governments control certain things versus the things that they have no interest in controlling. And at the end of the day, the argument is that it's all about what benefits government.
Yeah, exactly. Look at alcohol. How can you say, in good conscience, how can you say that alcohol is better than weed? People who are on weed are not beating up their wives, driving drunk.
Cirrhosis of the liver.
Getting themselves involved in the public health care system in a bad way.
I just think the weed industry needs better marketing, better packaging. Look at alcohol. So many great brands, so many great amazing products have come out of it. So everyone's like, oh, this can't be bad for you.
And by the way,
there's people in jets and there's parties.
I say that as someone who likes to drink. I'm not a weed smoker. I like to drink. I don't have a problem with it. And I think everybody who wants to should be able to do whatever they want. But why government should be involved in this stuff, I do not understand. Get government out of the people's private business. If my buddy wants to have 3 beers a day, she should be allowed to. If it fits in with her life and she's able to control herself and she's able to make the decisions for herself, why the hell not? Right, Mubs?
Sure.
Nobody else's business.
I mean, really, the only reason I stop is because I start getting fat. But, you know, like, you're absolutely right. Nobody else's business.
No. When you close your door and you have your own private space, you should be able to do whatever you like. It's fantastic. All right, well, maybe one day we'll get to that stage. What else is going on?
Newlyweds, the honeymoon period, and then apparently after that short little phase, it all goes down to shit, right?
What?
Well, this is the suggestion that's being made.
Oh.
Couples get together, they get married, they go through the honeymoon period, and they enjoy this fantastic time where they're newlyweds, and then apparently then marriages just become sour, and they just become work all the time.
Hmm.
Well, not necessarily the case. Because if you had to ask...
No, I was going
to
say.
Yeah, if you had to ask the question, who's happier, older married couples or the newlyweds?
What would you say? Older or newlyweds?
I would say newlyweds are happier. Because even if they aren't, they lie better than old people.
Well, there's also that euphoria, right? When you first fall in love.
Freshness.
You first get married. It's a new experience.
General youth.
Figuring out the dance steps.
Sure.
You've got the energy to make it work. I would say young, but then I feel that you might contradict us now.
Well, this is not me, Gareth. This is just a group of researchers because, as you know, everybody likes to publish a study that suggests one or other thing. So let's entertain this one for a second and decide how we feel. So married couples who make it to about 20 years together are, according to this study, happier than when they were first wed. These couples are likely to have put, this is the reason given now, the couples are likely to have put their romantic fantasies to one side and have developed a marital resilience and contentment. So it's,
that's interesting.
It is interesting. It's all about what's in our heads. Because, yes, let's face it, when you first get together, you have all these ideas, right? Oh, my gosh, we're going to go to Paris every year, and we're going to be in love for the rest of our lives.
Romance.
And we're going to go for picnics. Picnics and da-da-da-da-da. And then
bunches of flowers.
And then real life hits you, and you're like, what?
I still love you.
This isn't what I signed up for. So when you're about 20 years into the marriage, you understand that. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with, you know, the...
This bullshit that you see in the movies.
The weekly date night. No, it's about, like, making this union work, because that's what it takes.
You become practical instead of romantic.
So over 20 years, researchers examined data from thousands of married people. And these are the people that they tracked from the time when they first got together to about 20 years into their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, predictably, they found that those who ended up getting divorced reported frequent quarrels. You know, obviously, that's what leads to divorce, which eventually eroded their happiness. But in contrast, those who stuck together managed to develop this marital resilience, and they were able to resolve the disagreements of the early years of their union and go forward and improve their relationship.
You know what I think it comes to as well is unrealistic expectations.
Ooh, that'll trip people up so quickly in the early stages.
Because you get married and you've got an idea of what that's going to be. And your partner's got an idea of what it's going to be. And sometimes you don't discuss what your expectations are. And then when it doesn't go the way that you think it's going to go, you're suddenly miserable about it.
Mm.
And you think, oh, well, this marriage thing, you blame marriage, but it's you. Because you didn't communicate what you wanted and you didn't have any idea of what was right for you.
That is so true.
And you also thought you could change the other person Or you thought the other person wouldn't change, and they did.
And how many of us resort to firstly shouting and screaming at each other instead of sitting down and talking and say, okay, hang on.
Thank you.
What do you want out of this? Because yeah. I'll tell you what I want.
Right. And if you are raised on a diet of fairy tales and movies starring, what's Meg Ryan's daughter's name?
What?
What's her name?
Isn't that the one you're talking about?
Her name like Whisper Caviar?
No. Kate Hudson.
No.
Who's her mother? Goldie Hawn's daughter. Whatever. I don't. Anyway, so Kate Hudson. If you're raised on a diet of Kate Hudson movies and fairy tales, and you think that there's a Prince Charming who's going to pick you up on a horse and carry you off to a castle, and you're going to have candlelit dinners every night and baths full of rose petals, then you're a nutcase. You're going to be very unhappy. Your life's going to be a disaster. Because that's not what marriage is. And if you spend 90% of your time before you get married focused on the wedding day and 10% focused on the marriage, guess what? Your wedding day is going to be the best lasting part of it, and the marriage itself will last for 10% of the time you think it will.
Sure.
No, I'm telling you. I've seen this happen.
But it almost sounds a little bit hopeful then, if the study is to be believed, right, that you're going to be happier as an older couple together than when you first started out, then that's something to look forward to.
But you've got to be practical. You know what you've got to talk about? You've got to talk about boring stuff, like what pots and pans are going to have in the kitchen.
No, you've got to talk about stuff you don't want to talk about when you first start, because you reckon that, it's like what are those things called when you get married, about who gets what when you break up?
Anti-nuptial contract.
Yeah, some people go, but we'll never break up because this is for life. Mm-hmm. Like, then you're an idiot. Yeah. So when your expectations are in check and things actually do last for life, then say, hey, cool. But you've got to prepare for the fact that us humans are ultimately going to destroy something. And you get that, and everything else is a bonus off that.
Now, what the hell do we know? None of us are married.
No, but I mean, Ben is the closest to, he's what, in a 5-year relationship at this point?
Yeah, it's been going very well, Ben. You should be the one who talks about this. We should all shut up.
Yeah,
I try, Gareth, and then you kind of just dismiss me and carry on. So,
as I was saying, so let's move on.
Yeah.
Not in front of the guests.
Yeah, we've got it. We've actually got a very cool guest in this morning. I know a lot of people are very excited about this because on the 30th, which is just a few days away, Chance the Rapper is in South Africa for the first time. Yes, you can catch him along with Shane Eagle, Nadia Nakai, Frank Casino at the Castle Light Unlocks concert at the Ticket Pro Dome in Joburg. It's all happening. Put it in your diary. If you haven't got your tickets already, you might just miss out because they are selling like hotcakes. The next day is a public holiday. 30th of April is when the concert is, so you don't have any reason to miss out. You don't have to be one of those people, I've got work the next day. No, you don't. You can have a party. You can go and join Castle Light in their Unlocks exclusive, and it's all at the Ticket Pro Dome. Get your tickets now. Do not miss this Castle Light Unlocks exclusive. I'm very excited this morning to have Marsha Kumire in here. She is from Castle Light. She's the brand manager for Africa. Was this your idea, you genius?
Well, I would like to claim it.
It. You're allowed to. I think it's brilliant.
So we've been doing this for a few years, and I think the first we brought out Drake was our first That was our first music experience. And then past that, we've brought Kanye West, we've brought Nas. Last year, I worked on the campaign last year. That was my first bite of Castle Light Unlocks, which was fantastic, with Travis Scott and Bryson Tiller. I think for us, it's hip-hop. Hip-hop is kind of a passion point for our consumers. And I think it fits well with the brand. So we are all about progressiveness. And hip-hop is quite a progressive sort of music.
Absolutely.
It's quite expressive and unapologetically expressive. And we are also quite progressive in the way we do things from an innovation perspective. We like to kind of do things that are extraordinary and kind of unlock extraordinary enjoyment, and that's what we're all about. And we feel that our music property kind of allows us to bring the brand to life and make the impossible possible, basically.
So Marsha, how does it work? Do you guys sit in a room and you go, well, let us choose whoever we can think of, who's the most cool, exciting person in music right now? And then you throw those names around, and then you say to underlings, go make it happen. How does this work? Do you have an open canvas? Do you have a blank canvas when you guys start?
So the process is quite long and it's quite intense.
I know, there's huge work that goes
into it. With the team. So it starts off with, you know, like which artists, hip-hop artists fit our brand. And then that brings up a short list of...
You have a big whiteboard and everyone writes the name down.
So who are the artists that are doing innovative things? Who are different in what in the way they're expressing their music and their talent and how they're going about their business and sort of in the music industry? And then we go and go, who hasn't come yet? So if you've noticed, we've never brought the same artist twice.
That's right.
That's also part of our hook. So for those that have been crying for Drake, he's already been here. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So then, and then we kind of then have that short list, and then the list actually kind of decreases very quickly because there's very few artists that are kind of doing things differently. And I think if you look at our lineup this year, I mean, Chance the Rapper is, I think, an artist that he's, you know, who's just done amazing things. He has 3 Grammys. And he got those before he released an album. I mean, who does that?
Absolutely. but he's also one of this new crop of young rappers who's really making waves.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of them who are, and the content of his work is just, it's powerful, man. This guy knows what he's doing.
No, he does. It's
smart
phenomenal.
As a button.
Yeah, that fits up. That's who we are as a brand. So I think, and even if you look at our South African artists that we've got on the lineup, I mean, Nadia, Shane, and Frank Casino are also doing things in their own way and quite differently from what other hip hop artists in the industry are doing, which is why we've chosen them as a great complement. And if you look at across all 4 of them, they're quite similar in what they're doing. And I think this year the lineup is quite complementary to these young, and they're young. They're all young artists who are doing things quite differently. And we have this great platform, the Extra Cold Stage, where we are able to showcase these artists in a way that the world has never seen them before.
So let's look at this quickly. You've got Shane Eagle,
yep.
Nadia Nakai, mm-hmm. Frank Casino, yep. And then you've got Chance the Rapper. That's a hell of a lineup. Is this going to be a good 2-3 hours, 4 hours? How long are we looking at here?
So we start the day we encourage everyone to come through about 3:30. We have a bit of a pre-party, so I hope people have taken the day off that day.
A little bit of a day drunk buzz good. Nice. We like that.
So we start off with a pre-party area, so you come out and have couple of beers, uh-huh. And we've got some really cool DJs that we have that will kind of warm you up before we open the main doors. And then we have, beyond just the 4 artists, we have what we're calling curators. And this year, the show, we've taken a different twist. So in the past, we've had DJs that kind of play in between the artists. And this year, we've chosen our curators, which is, we have Ayanda MVP, we've got Major League, we've got Miss Cosmo and DJ PH. And they are pretty much going to be our conductors for the night. So they, if you think of like a hip-hop opera symphony, there's no presenters in between. So once the show starts, it's continuous music.
Beautiful.
Until the last sort of set.
How many annoying people talking?
So yeah, you want to hear them. You came for the music and not someone hyping you up. So I'm really excited about that. And I think they're also very excited because it's a different way to use our DJs. And I think, yeah, so we're going to really see how they kind of play around with the energy and as they hype up the next artist that will be coming through. So we're very excited about that.
I'm interested to find out about the negotiation phase. So you say that initially you'll start with a big list and then you have a short list.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have your short list, do you start speaking to all those artists, or do you only wait until you've come down to the one person that you all agree on that, okay, we want Chance, so now let's speak to Chance's team? And how long does that process take? Because it's one thing to want him, it's another thing to convince him to come here.
So we
and then his schedule has to be free, and you have to decide how much it's going to cost. You know?
So we dream big. So we always go for the name that we want. And that's where we start. And we push. And we've got really great team that looks after our artist management. And we tend to get, and then it's a process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first it's, then they go, you know, Africa, where they have never been here before. And then we kind of have to show the body of work that we've done. And they kind of go, wow, Kanye West has been there? Drake? Oh my gosh, J. Cole? And then then it's like, wait a minute, there's something going on in South Africa. I want to be part of it. And then we start talking on dates and what are the right dates for them to come through.
But you guys also built up this credibility, right? I mean, you got Drake pretty much when he was either on his way up or he was already at the top, yeah. And he was the biggest name. He still is to some degree, but you know, you were ahead of the curve there. You bring out Kanye West, who's always interesting. The guy, I mean, I was at that, I think I co-emceed it with somebody. That was an incredible show as well. And then, as you say,
like
Nas.
The white
I mean,
stage
this is beautiful. I mean, you've built up this reputation for bringing all these cool people here, so other people who are cool will want to be a part of that. It's like you've created this little club.
Yeah, we have. And I think there's a sense now that, you know, there's big things happening in Africa in general and South Africa. And I think we're going to see an influx of, you know, these internationals coming to see what Africa has to offer. And I think also what our artists, South African artists, also have to offer. I mean, I know last year we took Casper along with us to mm-hmm. Tanzania and Mozambique, where we unlocked him there with Future, so which is quite exciting. And this year we're also in Nigeria, unlocking J. Cole, who's been here already, but
right.
hasn't really set foot in Nigeria, so they're also pretty excited about seeing him. So yeah, there's this sort of import-export of artists and talent going on, and I think South Africa has so much to offer. So besides, I mean, chances we look great and happy that he's coming, but I think we mustn't take away from the South African artists that we have, and that they are, and I think you're going to see them in a really, really great light.
Well, we tried to show them off here, and it went beautifully. On O'Neill's show, not so long ago, he brought in Shane and Nadia, and
as a whole musical performance,
they did like a live collaboration, which is incredible. And I know they're doing something else that's pretty big that's coming up too. Mm-hmm. And O'Neill's been excited about this from day one, because you know clearly he loves these artists, he knows their work, he's familiar with what mm-hmm. they're doing, and he's a major supporter of local music. And I think that this is the kind of stuff that you guys have done differently this time around. And there's obviously a lot of other stuff. What have you done to create some hype?
So we've had what we call Road to Unlocks. So unfortunately, not everybody gets to come to the concert. So we have now our consumers in Cape Town. We've got P, Durban, all across the country. So we've done sort of with using our South African artists, so given a little bit of a snippet of what an Unlocks experience looks like. So that's worked really well, and we've given away some tickets at those events where the guys get to get a VIP experience and come through to the concert and have an amazing experience. We've had a lot of obviously we've been we're here on the show today. Sure. We've had a really great launch. So we've and there's lots of comms and we've and there's a few events happening this weekend and also as we approach the actual Unlocks weekend, and there's still an opportunity for people to win tickets, buy them, so that you don't miss out, because this is one show you definitely don't want to miss out.
Well, Castle Lights also just a great brand to work with, right? I mean, you've got, I think so. I mean, I'm not a big beer drinker. If I drink any beers, it's going to be Castle Light. That's what mm-hmm. I got in my fridge. Because it's light. Mm-hmm. For a start. Mm-hmm. You know, Mabali was saying earlier, she doesn't mind having a beer every now and then, but then she worries about, like, getting fat. And this is not a problem with Castle
Light.
No,
not at all.
Yeah, you see. Everything in moderation.
Well, and sometimes not. But this is going to be a hell of a show. So the Ticket Pro Dome, 30th of April, 6 p.m., but as you heard now from Marsha, you can start coming in about 3:30-ish and start getting ready for it.
Yes, warm
it's going to be a hell of a show. Castlelight.co.za if you want to find out more. You can also follow them on Facebook and Twitter and get involved, because this is going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mabali. Moderation is not the word I shall be using on the 30th. Yeah. So everything has
been...
Yo, I'm unlocked and unhinged on
He's
the
cleared
thing.
His diary.
That is what is happening.
Right. So Castle Light Unlocks, and as Africa's most innovative beer, they're pushing the boundaries of hip-hop in the continent by unlocking pioneering artists who are rewriting the rules of artistry. You could be part of this on the 30th. Get your tickets now at CompuTicket. The hashtag Castle Light Unlocks exclusive is all happening. Thank you very much, Marsha. What a pleasure to see you. Marsha is the brand manager for Africa for Castle Light. Marsha Kumire, it's a pleasure to see you. And coming up in a little while, we'll speak to Ruda Landman. Yep, Ruda's written another book. She's unstoppable. You've probably seen a lot of her compelling interviews on television and all over the internet. She's spoken to prominent South Africans about their life choices and about how change has affected them in her new book. We're going to announce something cool that we're doing with Ruda, and we'll tell you all about her new book. That's coming up in a short while. Any other news you want to throw in there, Mubs?
No, I think we're done.
All right, we're done. Ben, anything from you that you want to clear up with?
Not today, Gareth. I think we've covered a whole fantastic bunch of topics.
All right, well, we've got Ruda coming up, so there's plenty to look forward to. And that's all on the way. Before we wrap up this hour, let me give you the un-news for this morning. Here are the important stories that you may or may not have paid attention to yet. Flood warnings have been issued in Cape Town. The area is, of course, desperately in need of rain, but the rain must not be too heavy. The DA have summoned Patricia De Lille for a special hearing on this. She was in charge of drought relief, but she will come under fire if the rain isn't just right when it arrives. Disciplinary hearings. Ay, ay, ay. Jacob Zuma's new wife has had to step down from her position in a women's rights charity. Marrying the former president was seen as contrary to the foundation's beliefs and ethics, but the young bride said getting paid is more important than this whole women's rights thing, so she's not too bothered about it. And finally, the English rugby team for the South African tour is becoming weaker by the day. Coach Eddie Jones isn't bothered by this, though. This week, they're visiting the visa application office and looking for who wants to play rugby in England from around the world. There will be more than enough talent in there. Those people could suddenly become English citizens before catching the plane back to South Africa. So if that's for you, you know what to do. Coming up, Ruda Landman, cliffcentral.com, on a beautiful Tuesday morning. And remember, it's a very short week this week, because Friday is a public holiday. So just in case you hadn't had enough of a good time with all this information about Chance the Rapper coming next week, you also get Friday off. No excuses. You'll be well rested for the concert.
This is cliffcentral.com.